ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। हरि ओम ओम सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यंकरवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ओम शांति शांति शांति। ओम नमो भगवते श्री दक्षिणामूर्ति स्वरूपाय श्री दयानंद रूपाय परमात्मने परब्रह्मणे। ओम यस्माज्जातं जगत्सर्वं यस्मिन्नेव प्रलीयते येनेदं धार्यते चैव तस्मै ज्ञानात्मने नमः। Let us read the mantra once. ॐ भूर्भुवस्सुवरिति वा एतास्तिस्रो व्याहृतयः तासामुहस्मै ताञ्चतुर्थीम् माहाचमस्यः प्रवेदयते मह इति तद्ब्रह्म स आत्मा अंगान्यन्या देवताः। भूरिति वा अयल्लोकः भुव इत्यन्तरिक्षम् सुवरित्यसौ लोकः मह इत्यादित्यः आदित्येन वाव सर्वे लोका महीयन्ते। भूरिति वा अग्निः भुव इति वायुः सुवरित्यादित्यः मह इति चन्द्रमाः। चन्द्रमसा वाव सर्वाणि ज्योतिगुंषि महीयन्ते। भूरिति वा ऋचः भुव इति सामानि सुवरिति यजुगुंषि मह इति ब्रह्म ब्रह्मणा वाव सर्वे वेदा महीयन्ते। भूरिति वै प्राणः भुव इत्यपानः सुवरिति व्यानः मह इत्यन्नम् अन्नेन वाव सर्वे प्राणा महीयन्ते। तावायेतश्चतस्रश्चतुर्धा चतस्रश्चतस्रो व्याहृतयः तायो वेद स वेदब्रह्म सर्वेऽस्मै देवा बलिमावहन्ति। ओके, वी सीइंग दि कमेंट्री ऑन दिस some basic commentary. Yesterday, in our commentary, we saw the virtues or the attributes of Upasya Devata. Upasya Devata means the Devata who is to be meditated upon is Upasya Devata, Upasya Devata. Here, the main Upasya Devata is Ishwaraha Sagunam Brahma, otherwise known as Hiranyagarbheshwaraha. And this Hiranyagarbha alone, as Angi and as Angani, as the one having limbs and also as the one in the form of limbs, meditated upon the four Vyakritis, Bhuhu, Bhuvaha, Suvaha and Mahaha. Mahaha stands for the Angi of Hiranyagarbha. అండ్ భూహు భువః సువః, త్రీ వ్యాహృతీస్ స్టాండ్ ఫార్ ది అంగాని ఆఫ్ హిరణ్యగర్భ. సో అంగి అండ్ అంగాని టుగెదర్ కాన్స్టిట్యూట్ వన్ హోల్ బీయింగ్, వన్ హోల్ బీయింగ్. హిరణ్యగర్భ యాజ్ అ మ్యాక్రో కాస్మిక్ బీయింగ్, వన్ ఈశ్వర ద హోల్ బీయింగ్ ఈజ్ మెడిటేటెడ్ అపాన్. యాజ్ ద హోల్ కెన్ నెవర్ బి మెడిటేటెడ్ అపాన్ ఈజీలీ, హియర్ ఉపనిషత్ హెల్ప్స్ అస్ విత్ సర్టెన్ దేవతాస్ విచ్ ఆల్ కాన్స్టిట్యూట్ వన్ ఈశ్వర ది హోల్. We saw the four meditations, because four different devatas are taken in each meditation, who are invoked upon these four vyakritis. So in each meditation, all those four devatas together are looked upon as one Hiranyagarbha. In this way, we see all the devatas meditated upon each meditation constitute Hiranyagarbha. All 16 devatas also together constitute one Hiranyagarbha. Therefore, Hiranyagarbha Upasanam is prescribed in this fifth section. And as Hiranyagarbha is invoked in him of various devatas, upon these four vyahrutis, this meditation is said to be, upasanam is said to be vyahrityatma Hiranyagarbha upasanam. Okay. Now, the commentary which was seeing, we understood very clearly that even though the upasana devata Hiranyagarbha is presented here, discussed here, one should know various virtues or attributes of Upasya Devata to have reverence and to be able to meditate upon the Devata. In this fifth Anuvaka, is only one specific virtue is mentioned. What is that one specific virtue of Hiranyagarbha? All pervasiveness. Hiranyagarbha is all pervasive Lord. And that all pervasiveness is implied by the term Atma. Therefore, in Shankara Bhagavatpada's commentary, he clarifies our doubt we saw yesterday. When the Upanishad states the benefit of practicing this Vyahruti Upasanam, it is said that the upasakaha who understands all these vyahrutis and meditates upon them, he will understand Hiranyagarbha well. Taha yaha veda, the person who knows, understands and meditates upon those vyahrutis, that person, saha brahma veda, he understands sagunam brahma Hiranyagarbheshwaraha. This is what is said in the mantra. So based on this statement, there was a doubt presented by Shankar Bhagavatpada. He did not have a doubt. Assuming such a doubt, the possibility of such a doubt on the part of a student, he presented the doubt of his imagined student. Then he himself clarified that doubt. What was the doubt? The person who meditates upon Hiranyagarbha on these vyahrutis, in the form of various devatas, definitely knows Hiranyagarbha as all-pervasive Lord. Tad Brahma sa Atma This is mentioned in the fifth section that Hiranyagarbha, who is said to be Sagunam Brahma, who is said to be all-pervasive Lord, is already known to the meditator. If already the meditator knows that Hiranyagarbha as all-pervasive, why should the Upanishad state again, the person whoever meditates upon these Vyahrutis knows Brahma? Which means, it sounds as though it is a repetition of what is already said or what is already known. Therefore, Shankara Bhagavatpada clarified this doubt, stating, no, in this section, only one specific virtue is mentioned. All pervasiveness of Ishvara alone is mentioned by this expression, Atma. But all virtues are not mentioned. So knowing one virtue of Hiranyagarbha does not really make the meditator know all Hiranyagarbha with all his virtues. Yesterday I also explained, without knowing anything, one cannot meditate upon anything. And if a person knows everything of Hiranyagarbha also, one does not need to meditate. Therefore, he has some knowledge of Hiranyagarbha, still some ignorance of Hiranyagarbha also. And this meditation upon Hiranyagarbha, invoking him on these Vyahrutis, definitely will bless a person with complete understanding of Hiranyagarbha. Therefore, there is no error. Is it clear? This much we saw in yesterday's class. Okay. So, we'll continue with where we left. To have complete understanding of Hiranyagarbha, one has to meditate. The complete knowledge of the concept of Ishvara, Ishvara being the whole, does not happen unless a person lives a meditative life. One can pray to the Lord, one can worship the Lord without knowing who the Lord is. Even one has to begin to meditate on Ishvara, having some understanding of Ishvara. The meditation should culminate in having the complete understanding of Ishvara. Therefore, many virtues are discussed in the sixth section of this Upanishad, the same Sikshavalli chapter, the first chapter. So in the sixth section also, the same Hiranyagarbha forms subject matter, that many virtues of Hiranyagarbha are discussed in the sixth chapter. And there, one of the virtue of Hiranyagarbha is that the Hiranyagarbha, Ishvara, the whole, is always available for recognition in one's own mind. Therefore, one should meditate upon Hiranyagarbha as the one who is available for recognition in one's own mind. Therefore, the meditation discussed in this sixth section is said to be Antar Hridaya Hiranyagarbha Upasanam. Antar Hridaya Hiranyagarbha Upasanam. Meditation upon Hiranyagarbha as the one having the virtue of being available for understanding in one's own mind. And that Upasanam is also Hiranyagarbha Upasanam. So some people are of the view that Vyahrutyupasanam, Vyahrutyatma Brahmo Upasanam ఈజ్ డిఫరెంట్ ఉపాసనం. అంతర్హృదయ సగు హిరణ్య గర్భోపాసనం ఇస్ అ డిఫరెంట్ ఉపాసనం. ద టూ డిఫరెంట్ ఉపాసనమ్స్. సమ్ పీపుల్ ఆర్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ వ్యూ. అండ్ దర్ ఈస్ అ మెన్షన్ ఆఫ్ ఉపాసనా ఫలం ఆల్సో, బ్రీఫ్ మెన్షన్ ఆఫ్ ఉపాసనా ఫలం ఇన్ ది అట్ ది ఎండ్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ ఫిఫ్త్ చాప్టర్. బట్ ది ప్రాపర్ బెనిఫిట్ ఆఫ్ ది మెడిటేషన్ ఇస్ మెన్షన్ ఓన్లీ అట్ ది ఎండ్ ఆఫ్ ది సిక్స్త్ చాప్టర్. As two different titles are there, Antarhridaya Hiranyagarbhopasanam, Vyahrityatma Brahmopasanam. As two different titles are there, two different sections present these two different meditations. Some people take this to be two different meditations. But Shankara Bhagavatpada makes it very clear. All the Vyahritis are introduced as Alambanani symbols for various Devatas who all constitute Ishvara, the whole Hiranyagarbha. That's all is done in the 6th-5th section. Actually, all the virtues, all other virtues, more virtues are discussed in the 6th section. Therefore, both the upasanams must be taken as one upasanam. Both chapters should be understood to be having ekavakyata. Ekavakyata means both chapters, both sections, 5th and the 6th sections have the status of having one topic, one subject matter of Hiranyagarbha. Both sections have the status of having one subject matter, one topic of Hiranyagarbha Upasanam. Ishvara is one. The only Ishvara Hiranyagarbha is the Upasya Devata. So the meditation also is only one meditation on one Ishvara Hiranyagarbha. This forms subject matter of both the sections. Therefore, the content of both sections must be understood properly. The person who meditates, wants to meditate, should practice both the meditations in order to enjoy the benefit. Practicing one meditation without the other will not really give any benefit. Okay. With this much understanding, let us continue our bhashyam where we left. We saw vakshyamana anuvakena ekavakyata asya. This chapter has the status of having the same subject matter along with the subject matter is going to be discussed in the following chapter. Ubayoho hi anuvakayoho ekam upasanam. There's one meditation on Hiranyagarbha, which forms subject matter of both the sections. This much we saw yesterday. Okay. Now we'll go to the next, today's class. Are you all with me? Okay. Today's class. Before I enter into the today's class, today's reading, today's portion of the Bhashyam, let me make it very clear. Upasanam being purely a mental activity. Upasanam also is an activity, though it is purely a mental activity. Being an activity, being an action, Upasanam also forms part of the karma kandaha. The rituals prescribed in the karma kanda involves physical oral activities along with mental activity. When a person is involved in performing a fire ritual, his focus must be, of course, in what he is doing. His focus must be in what he is chanting. His focus must be in what he is physically doing also. So, kayikam, vachikam, manasam, karma. Three karanani, body, mind and speech. Three instruments are involved in performing a fire ritual. The attention is not placed in that. It does not become upasanam. It's a kayikam, vachikam, manasam, karma. Means a ritual performed with the three instruments, body, mind and speech. Whereas upasanam is also an action, purely a mental activity. Manasam karma, manasavyaparaha. The upasanam also being action forms part of the karma kanda only. This you must remember. Therefore, in this karma kanda, there are certain important statements. There must be certain important statements in the section dealing with the subject matter of karma kanda. What are those important statements? Vakyam means statement, sentence. Vidhi vakyam means a statement of commandment, statement determining statement, ordaining statement, prescribing statement is called vidhivakyam. Okay. Mukhya vidhivakyam means a statement ordaining, commanding specific action. A statement of commandment is said to be mukhya vidhivakyam. So in the portion dealing with the karma kanda, there must be a mukhya vidhivakyam. A mukhya vidhivakyam will have verbs denoting the instruction, command. Kuriyat, juhuyat, may one offer oblation, may one perform a ritual. Juhuyat, kuriyat, karotu. They're all imperative or the verbs denoting command. The same way, in the Upasana section, there must be verbs denoting the command. Upasita, upasitavyam, upasyam. May one meditate. One should meditate or one meditates. Such statements ordaining, prescribing commandment of action must be there. Such statements of commandment are known as mukhya vidhivakyani. In singular, mukhya vidhivakyam. Okay. And there are also some other statements which present, which discuss the glories or the virtues of Upasya Devatas. There's some other statements which discuss the virtues or attributes of the Upasya Devatas. Such statements presenting the virtues or attributes of Upasya Devatas are known as गुण विधि वाक्यानी, गुण विधि वाक्यम सिंगुलर, गुण विधि वाक्य मीन्स अ स्टेटमेंट रिवीलिंग द वर्च्यूज ऑफ द ऑब्जेक्ट ऑफ मेडिटेशन उपास्य देवता. To understand the Bhashya is going to come, you need to know these sentences. What is Mukhya Vidhi Vakyam and what is Guna Vidhi Vakyam? So statement revealing, the statement of words revealing the virtues of Upasya Devata is known as Guna Vidhi Vakyam. The statement of what's presenting the commandment is said to be Mukhya Vidhi Vakyam. Okay. Now, Shankaracharya says again, here, that both the sections present only one meditation. One must understand the content of both the sections to practice meditation, thereby to enjoy the benefit. To make this, to drive home this teaching, he himself analyzed the words, meanings of the words. He inquired into, Shankara Bhagavatpada himself inquired into the meanings of the words used in the context of Karmakanda. So he presents his analysis in conformity with Karma Mimamsa Shastram, which means, but for Shankara Bhagavatpada's commentary, we cannot understand really what is being taught here. We have no time. We cannot really work very hard to inquire into the meanings of the words and to understand the meaning correctly in the context of Karma Kanda. We cannot really analyze Karma Mimamsa. We cannot enquire into the meanings of the words in keeping with Karma Mimamsa Shastram. So Shankara Bhagavatpada has done this homework for us. So he does not simply present his commentary as he likes. No. So Shankara Bhagavatpada's commentary on this mantras pertaining to Karma Kanda, dealing with the topic of meditation, is based on his inquiry into the meanings of the words and analysis in conformity with Karma Mimamsa Shastram. Karma Mimamsa Shastram means what? Analytical study of mantras of Karma Kanda. Understand? Okay. So, first he says, Lingat cha. See that now? Lingat cha. Cha and Lingat. The word Lingam always reminds us of Shivalinga, isn't it? Why Shivalinga is called Shivalingam? Lingam. Asmin liyate sarvam iti Lingam. That in which everything resolves is Lingam. Asmin liyate sarvam iti Lingam. Shivalingam is called Lingam because Shivalingam is a symbol of Antaryamishwaraha, the in whom everything resolves. That's the meaning. But that is not meaning here. Please understand. Completely different meaning. Here the word Lingam means clue, an indication, clue is Lingam. Like a means of inferring, clue, is lingam. Lingat means due to the indication, because of the clue we get. Lingat means panchami vibhakti. Lingat, because of the clue we get, because of the indication, it is very clear the contents of both sections present the one meditation on only one Ishvara Hiranyagarbha. Okay. What is the clue? He says, to understand, you have to read the following section mantra. That is why it's always said, Bhashya Patanam should not be done without having done the Moola Patanam. One must have studied the original text with a proper explanation. Then one must study the Bhashyam. Okay, because a lot of references here and there. Okay, let us read the sixth section to understand the meaning here. Just let us read only once. Saya esho ontar hridaya akashah tasmin ayam purusho manomayah amruto hiranmayah antarena taluke ya eshastana iva valambate seendra yonihi yatrasau ke keshanto vivartate vyapohya shirshakapale bhorityagnau pratitishthati bhuvayiti vayau suvarityadityae mahayite brahmani apnoti swara ajyam apnoti manasaspatim vakpatis chakshushpatihi shrotrapatir vijnanapatihi etattato bhavati akashas shariram brahma Satyatma prana ramam mana anandam shanti samruddham amrutam iti prachina yogyopa asva iti prachina yogyopa asva. Okay. Don't worry, we'll be elaborately discussing this section when we come to that section. Now, why did I read that section? To understand the commentary here. So what is the clue that Shankara Bhagavatpada has found to state that the content of both the sections present one meditation? We should not mistake them to be two different meditations. Okay. He says, Bhuhu iti agno pratitishthati. Bhuhu iti agno patitishthati means the meditator finally he will resolve into, when the body falls apart, he will resolve into this, all these devatas. Agno patitishthati. The sixth section. In the sixth section, when Upanishad presents the benefit of meditation, it starts saying the upasakaha, meditator, after the fall of the body, he will resolve into what he is. Bhuhu iti agno pratitishthati means he will resolve into, merge into agnihi. Ityadikam lingam upasana ekatve. Bhuhu iti. So bhuvaha iti vayau. So the, all the devatas mentioned in the upasanam And all the Vyahrutis are connected. So the sixth section, in the sixth section, Upanishad itself connects this section with the fifth section. Upanishad itself connects the sixth section with the fifth section by presenting the benefit of meditation, that the Upasaka will resolve into, merge into Agnihi, Vayuhu, etc. Don't worry about the meanings. We'll see elaborately later on. Which means these Bohu, Bhuvaha, etc. are not mentioned in the sixth chapter. Vyahrutis are discussed only in the fifth chapter. But in presenting the benefit of meditation, in the sixth section, Upanishad herself says, Upasaka will resolve into Agnihi, Vayuhu, devatas which are meditated upon these Vyahrutis, Bhuhu, Bhuvaha, etc. Which means Upanishad herself connects the sixth section with the fifth section. That Upanishad itself brings these Vyahrutis to this sixth section. This is the lingam, clue. This is the clue. Clue for what? Bhuhu iti agno patitishtati ityadikam. The statement such as bhuritya agno patitishtati etc. is lingam. Lingam means a clue, is an indication. Indication for what? Indication of the meditation being one. Upasana ekatve. Okay, meditation has the status of being one. What does it mean? There's one meditation alone upon Hiranyagarbha is discussed in the both the sections. Upasanasya ekatvam, upasana ekatvam. Upasana ekatve lingam. There's a clue for the meditation being one discussed in both the sections. Is it clear? I can understand some of you cannot understand the meanings of this sentence. Don't worry. Okay? Because bhuhu iti agnau pratitishthati ityadikam. The statement such as bhur ityagnau pratitishthati becomes the clue for us that the Vyahrutis mentioned in the fifth section, devatas mentioned in the fifth section are actually brought to the sixth section also. Okay. This is the clue number one. Indication number one. We have no doubt both the sections present only one meditation. Bhuhu iti bhuhi iti agno patitishtati ityadikam lingam upasana ekatve. Upasanasya ekatve lingam bhavati. It becomes the clue for meditation being one. Okay. What is the next clue? Vidhayaka abhavaticha. Clue number two. Vidhayaka abhavat. Okay. Vidhayakam means what? Vidadhati iti vidhayakam. Vidadhati means prescribes, ordains. Vidhayakam means what? That which prescribes, that which ordains, that which determines. Okay. So, what is which determines the action? The statement of commandment. Okay. The statement of commandment is the statement which ordains a specific ritual action or specific action, specific activity. விதாயக வாக்கிய அபாவாத். விதாயக் இந்த வாக்கியம் இஸ் நாட் ஹியர். விதாயக வாக்கிய அபாவாத் விதாயக அபாவாத். இன் தி ஃபர்ஸ்ட் செக்ஷன், இன் தி ஃபிஃப்த் செக்ஷன், இன் தி ஃபிஃப்த் செக்ஷன் வேர் வியாகிருதிஸ் ஆர் டிஸ்கஸ்ட், வியாகிருதி உபாசனம் இஸ் டிஸ்கஸ்ட், தேர் தேர் இஸ் நோ ஸ்பெசிபிக் ஸ்டேட்மெண்ட் which determines, which prescribes, which ordains the commandment. Vidayakam means that which ordains, prescribes, okay, commandment. So vidayaka abhavat, due to the absence of statement of commandment. Due to the absence of statement of commandment, the statement prescribing the commandment in the first section. Okay, it is not here. What is the statement? Definitely, I already told you that the statement prescribing the commandment is said to be முக்கிய விதி வாக்கியம். Isn't it? Remember that முக்கிய விதி வாக்கியம் இஸ் நாட் இன் தி ஃபிஃப்த் செக்ஷன். வேர் இஸ் த முக்கிய விதி வாக்கியம்? முக்கிய விதி வாக்கியம் இஸ் ஒன்லி இன் தி செகண்ட் செக்ஷன், மீன் சிக்ஸ்த் செக்ஷன். வேர் இஸ் இட்? உபாஸ்வ ஹே பிராச்சீன யோக்ய உபாஸ்வ. ஹே பிராச்சீன யோக்ய உபாஸ்வ மீன்ஸ் வாட்? த ஸ்டூடெண்ட் இஸ் அட்ரஸ்ட் as hey prachina yogya upasva. Upasva is what? May you meditate is the statement of commandment. So may you meditate, that statement of commandment is not found in the fifth section. Even though meditation is discussed, objects of meditation are mentioned, Vyakritis, the symbols are mentioned, but the statement of commandment is not mentioned in the fifth section. Instead, the statement of commandment, the statement prescribing the commandment is given only at the end of the sixth section. Prachina yogya upasva. This becomes a second indication or clue for us that due to the absence of commandment, the statement of commandment prescribing the meditation, may you meditate, prescribing the commandment in the first, fifth section, definitely it is a second indication to understand that the subject matter of both the sections form one meditation. Okay, upasana ekatvam. Okay, then nahi veda உபாசித்தவ்யஹ இதி விதாயகஹ கஷ்சித் சப்த அஸ்தி. சோ சேம் திங், டியூ டு தி ஆப்சன்ஸ் ஆஃப் தி ஸ்டேட்மெண்ட் பிரஸ்கிரைபிங் தி கமாண்ட்மெண்ட், தேர் இஸ் நோ சப்ஜெக்ட் மேட்டர் இஸ் தி சேம், ஒன் அண்ட் தி சேம் ஆஃப் போத் தி செக்ஷன்ஸ். ஓகே, நோ சங்கராச்சாரிய சேஸ் வேத நோஸ் or meditates, upasitavyaha should be meditated upon, iti, thus, such vidhayakaha shabdaha, vidhayakaha shabdaha means word prescribing the commandment, word ordaining the action, vidhayakaha shabdaha kaschit na asti. विधायकः शब्दः कश्चिद् नास्ति. देर् इस् नो वर्ड्. कश्चित् शब्दः, देर् इस् कश्चिद् सम् वर्ड्. देर् इस् नाट् इवन् वन् वर्ड् विच् प्रिस्क्रैब्स् कमाण्ड्मेण्ट् as should be meditated upon, knows, etc. Okay? Veda upasitavyaha should be meditated upon. Veda meditates such. Vidayakaha shabdaha kaschit. Some word determining, ordaining the commandment is not there in the fifth section. Kaschit vidhayaka shabdaha upasitavyaha ityadi vidhayaka shabdaha. Word determining the commandment is not there. Nasti. Is it clear? This is second clue. But where is the second clue? Where is upasthavyaha? Prachina yogya upasva. That may you meditate. That statement of commandment is not found in the fifth section, but is found at the end of the sixth section. That becomes second clue. Okay. Then, next. Vyahrityanuvake taha yaha veda iti cha vakshyamana arthatvat na upasana bhedakaha. Okay. So, here he says, in the fifth section, tayo veda sabrahma veda. Remember those sentences? Go back to the mantra and see. Tayo veda saveda brahma sarve esmai deva balima vahanti. That tayo veda saveda brahma. There the words come twice. Veda. The person who meditates on those vyahrutis. Yaha taha veda. The person whoever meditates on those vyahrutis. There, first, the word veda first means meditates. Isn't it? Therefore, it is possible for one to have a doubt. There is a vidayaka vakyam. The word Veda meaning meditates is there. Therefore, can we take the meditations discussed in the fifth and sixth sections are two different meditations? No. So Shankaracharya says here, Vyahrutyanuvake, please be with me. Vyahrutyanuvake means what? In the fifth section, dealing with Vyahruti Upasanam, Taha Yaha Veda Iti Cha Vakshyamana Arthatvat Na Upasana Bhedakaha. See, Taha Yaha Veda Iti, that portion, that particular portion, the person, the one who meditates, whoever meditates, that portion, there the word Veda comes. That word Veda in the portion Taha Yaha Veda is not Upasana Bedakaha, is not the differentiating word, is not the word which differentiates the meditation. Bedaka means difference. Bedakam means what? That which differentiates. Na bedakaha shabdaha. The Veda, the word Veda in that portion, taha yaha Veda, is not the word differentiating the meditation presented in the fifth and the sixth section. Why it is not a differentiating word? Why na bedakaha shabdaha? Upasana bedakaha na upasana bedakaha shabdaha. So Vyahrityanavake, in the section dealing with Vyahriti, fifth section, in the portion Taha Yaha Veda, the word Veda, meaning meditates, is not Upasana Bedakaha. Na Upasana Bedakaha is not a word differentiating the meditations presented in the fifth and the sixth sections. What's the reason? Because Vakshamana Arthatvat. Because that portion has Vakshamana Arthatvam. Vakshamana Arthatvam means what? That portion includes the virtues discussed in the next chapter. Vakshamana Arthatvat. Artha means virtue. Vakshamana Arthatvat. Due to the inclusiveness of virtues which are going to be discussed in the next section. Taha Yaha Veda. In that portion, the word Vedaha, word Veda, meaning meditates, is not the word differentiating the meditation or the sixth section, because that word, because that word, that portion has the inclusiveness of the virtues that are going to be discussed in the next chapter. That word includes the virtues. That word includes the virtues discussed in the next chapter. Therefore, what? Upasanam is one upasanam, one meditation upon one Hiranyagarbha. So both the subject matter of contents of both sections must be understood by the meditator to practice as one meditation to enjoy the benefit. Is it clear? Okay. It is the third point Shankara Bhagavatpada mentions to understand the subject matter is one and the same. The meditation is one meditation. So, Vyahrityanuvake Taha Yaha Veda Iticha Vakshyamana Arthatvate Na Upasana Vedakaha. The word Veda is not a word differentiating the meditation of the sixth section, because it is inclusive of the virtues discussed in the next section. Okay. Then, Vakshyamana Arthatvam Cha Tad Visesha Vakshutvaditi Ityadina Uktam. What Shankara Bhagavatpada says, already it has been mentioned by me in my commentary. Uktam. What was mentioned when he said this fifth section presents only one virtue of Hiranyagarbha. So there it was said Upanishad has an intention of revealing all the virtues of Hiranyagarbha discussed in the sixth section. Okay. The person who meditates upon Brahma understands Brahma. When Shankara Bhagavatpada commented upon that sentence, he said that when the meditator understands Brahma, means the meditator's knowledge is incomplete knowledge. He has some understanding of one virtue of Hiranyagarbha as all pervasive, virtue of Hiranyagarbha being all pervasive. He does not know other virtues. Other virtues such as being available for recognition on his own mind, being filled with the peace, etc. All other virtues are discussed only in the next section. Understand? So this has already been mentioned by Shankaracharya in his commentary. So what he says, again, the word Veda is a present tense verb. Present tense verb sometimes can be taken as commandment, you know, in the Karmakanda. But still, if the present tense verb comes with a relative pronoun, yaha, whoever, definitely it is not a statement of commandment. Okay. A simple present tense verb coming along with a relative pronoun, whoever meditates, should not be taken as a statement of commandment. Is it clear? Therefore, what? There is no statement of commandment in the fifth section. Therefore, it cannot be, the meditation prescribed in the fifth section cannot be taken as an independent, separate meditation. The content of both sections together form one subject matter of meditation upon Hiranyagarbha. Is it clear? Therefore, he says, Vakshyamana Arthatvam cha tad visesha vakshutvad ityadina uktam. It has already been said by me in my commentary. That's the meaning. So Shankaracharya says that. Okay, is it very clear now or not? Sometimes you have to bear with me because if I go make it too elaborate and it will become a Sanskritam grammar class, it will not be Upanishad class. Again, I want to finish this portion soon so we can enter into the important section of Brahmanandavalli. Is it clear? Okay. So three important aspects Shankara Bhagavatpada brings to our notice to make us understand one Upasanam form subject matter of both the sections. Okay. Next, Sarve Devaha Asmai Evam Vidushe Angabhutaha Avahanti Anayanti. Okay, Sarve Devaha, all Devas. Avahanti means what? Bring. Anayanti. Avahanti. Vahanti is a verb. A is a prefix. Vahanti. Carry. Avahanti means bring. Carry. Anayanti. All devatas bring balim. Kim avahanti, sarve devaha, balim avahanti, balim anayanti. All devatas bring offering. Please understand the meaning of the word balihi means offering. Offering. That is why the great emperor was known as Mahabalihi. In Srimad Bhagavatam, one emperor was known as Mahabalihi. The name itself was Mahabalihi. Because Mahan Balihi Yasya. The person of great offering. Greatest offering. The person of greatest offering is a compound word. In Sanskrit it is called Mahabalihi. Why? He is a great offering. No, he is not a great offering. He is a person of greatest offering. The exalted offering. The word he is called Mahabalihi. What is that he, what was the greatest offering he did? He offered his head to Bhagavan. Hey, when Bhagavan came as a Vamana, he offered his head to Bhagavan. Therefore, he is said to be a person of exalted offering, the person of greatest offering. Oh, offering head is an exalted offering? Yes, because he did not physically giving one's head to Bhagavan, it is a symbolic offering of one's own self. Head stands for eye sense. And in seeing oneself being non-separate from Bhagavan is a vision of the fact, a truth. And that is symbolized by what? Seeing one's own self being non-separate from Bhagavan is offering one's own self to Bhagavan. That offering one's own self to Bhagavan is symbolized, symbolically presented as offering one's head to Bhagavan. So Mahabali, he offered himself to Bhagavan. Why? When the offerer is offered unto Bhagavan, the act of offering will come to an end. There is no greater offering than offering of the offerer. When the offerer himself is offered unto Bhagavan, offering cannot take place anymore. That's why Purnahuti, I explained many times in my class. Today I'm reminding you again. Purnahuti means what? Yaya Ahutya Yajna Purnaha Bhavati Sa Ahutihi Purnahuti. The oblation offering which the offering comes to an end is Purnahuti. So the Purnahuti bundle symbolizes head. When you break the coconut, coconut symbolizes head. And Mahabalihi offered his head to Bhagavan because he offered himself to Bhagavan. There's nothing more to be given. Once the offerer is offered, nothing else can be offered. Therefore, offering of the offerer is the exalted offering. That's why his name is called Mahabalihi. So why should I tell all this story here? The word Balihi means offering. So here, Sarve Devaha, all these Devas carry offering to this person, Asmai, to this meditator. Asmai, Sarve Devaha, Asmai means Kasmai, Vidushe. Vidushe means to this meditator. Sarve Deva, Vidush means, here in this context, the word Vidush means meditate, Vidushe. Asmai vidushe deva sarve devaha, which are in the form of angani of Hiranyagarbha. Deva, all devas which are meditated upon as the limbs of Hiranyagarbha carry oblations, offerings to this meditator. When does he have that greatness of receiving the oblations from devatas? Swarajya praptav. When this meditator attains the status of being one with Hiranyagarbha, Swarajya praptav, he does not attainment of Swarajyam. Sovereignty, Swarajyam, sovereignty. Swarajya praptav, when this meditator attains, or when there is an attainment of Swarajyam. Swarajyam means what? The status of being one with Hiranyagarbha. As a result of practicing this meditation, being one with Hiranyagarbha, as Hiranyagarbha, he becomes the receiver of all oblations, all offerings brought by devatas. And Swarajya praptau satyam. Swarajya praptau satyam. When there is an attainment of Swarajya praptau, Swarajyam, attains the status of being one with Hiranyagarbha, then all devas carry oblations unto him. This benefit of practicing meditation also is mentioned only at the end of the sixth section. Vyakritis are mentioned. Alambanani, the symbols in the form of Avakritis are mentioned in the fifth section. Devatas are mentioned. Meditation is also mentioned. But the benefit of meditation is mentioned only at the end of the sixth section, as that all these devatas carry offerings to this meditator when there is attainment of Swarajyam in terms of being one with Hiranyagarbha. Okay, carry oblations unto him. Therefore, what? The benefit being mentioned at the sixth chapter also is a very good clue that there's only one subject matter of meditation upon Hiranyagarbha discussed in both the sections. Is it clear? Yeah. Sarve devaha asmai evam vidushe angabhutaha devaha. Evam angabhutaha devaha asmai vidushe balim avahanti swarajya prapto satyam ityartha. So what is swarajyam? What is swarajya prapti? We'll be understanding in the next section. Okay. Here, Pujya Swamiji used to give two meanings. The first meaning is swarajya prapti means being one with Ishvara. One cannot become Ishvara. One is never away from Ishvara. Recognizing oneself being one with Ishvara. So, or attaining the status of being Hiranyagarbha. So, after the meditator, after the fall of the body, when the Parabdha gets exhausted, after the fall of the body, he is supposed to travel through the solar path, Surya Gatihi, otherwise known as Shukla Gatihi, bright path, solar path or bright path, and reach highest of the lokas known as Brahma Loka. Attaining the Brahma Loka, reaching the Brahma Loka, being one with Hiranyagarbha, is also said to be Swarajya Praptihi. Once a person reaches Hiranyagarbha, Brahma Loka also, there still is the highest position, but still it is not Mokshaha. There again, this Upasaka has the possibility of attaining Atma Jnanam. There he can resolve his identity with Ishvara Swarupam. There he can attain Brahma Jnanam. Thereby he can attain Krama Muktihi. The attainment of Krama Muktihi is also meant by the word Swarajya Praptihi. So Swarajya Praptihi has two meanings. Attainment of oneness with Hiranyagarbha, reaching Brahma Loka. The second meaning is attainment of Krama Muktihi, the attainment of knowledge in Brahma Loka. Understand? Okay. Anyway, when a person attains such status and he becomes the receiver of oblations, offerings carried by devatas. This benefit is mentioned where? Only at the end of the sixth section. Therefore, what? There are not two meditations. There's only one meditation upon Hiranyagarbha. Therefore, one must understand the contents of both the sections and practice this meditation, if at all he has to practice. We are very cool. No way. We are not expected to practice this meditation. Understand? Sarve devaha evam asmai vidur. Sarve angabhutaha evam angabhutaha devaha asmai vidushe swarajya prapto satyam balim avahanti balim anayanti ityarthaha. Okay. Iti sikshavalyam sikshavalyam panchamonuvakaha. Fifth section is over. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om. Okay, any other doubt here in this?
Satyam, Swamiji. Satyam, is that Brahma Loka?
Satyam, Sati Saptami. Yeah, Satyam, no? Praptihi, the word Praptihi is a Strilinga Shabda, attainment, Praptihi. Praptau Satyam. That's why I said I didn't want to get into the grammar, but anyway, let me tell you. Praptau Satyam means what? Swarajya praptihi. Swarajyasya praptihi. Swarajya praptihi. Swarajyam sovereignty. Sovereignty means what? Being one with Ishvara. One with Hiranyagarbha. So, swarajyasya praptihi. Swarajya praptihi. Attainment of swarajyam. Swarajya praptau satyam. In moksha, we can say, no, the satyam, because prapti is stealing a shabda. When there is attainment of swarajya prapti, attainment of swarajyam. Sati, satyam. Sati, if it is the master word, you would have got sati, sati. Satyam is because of prapti is sealing a shabda. So Brahma Loka Gamane Sati. Swarajya prapto prapto satya. Like that. It's okay. This grammatical point we'll discuss in the grammar class, okay? If we include them, we'll get too much for people. They don't need to know the grammar things. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.